Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Off the ball. Rugby.
Conan's going to come in and there's a very good chance now starting for the Lions. Yes, he's an absolute talisman. He's been the most in-form number eight for a good while now in the world.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
All right, you're very welcome along. What a show we have for you today. Gavin Cooney's going to join us in studio 8:05. Keith Rossiter, the Wexford manager, is going to join us to reflect on a difficult season for the Wexford Hurlers. And Carol Kane is going to, well, a bit of a deep dive on Derry football and their chances at the weekend as well. So we'll talk to him about that after 9 o'clock. If there's anything you'd like to get off your chest this morning, anything at all, let's be having you. All the Liverpool fans are tuned in. All the Arsenal fans are tuned in. All the Spurs fans are tuned in. All the City fans are tuned in. Well, the Arsenal fans are tuned in, but none of the Man United fans are there, are they? Are you out there? Is this thing on? Can you hear us? Let's be having you, United fans. What's next? 0879-180-180 is the WhatsApp number. Arthur, your body language is a bit of a giveaway, is it? You don't care anymore.
No. You don't want to be too... that's the last thing anyone wants from the someone who's supporting the team that was beaten. That doesn't matter anyway. But it's not, I suppose it's not surprising. It was kind of exactly as you would expect. You know, if you were to look at it, if I'd looked at it logically beforehand.
As opposed to
optimistically.
Oh, it'll be 2-0, it'll be handy.
I thought it would, and I don't know why I thought it would, but they were absolutely disgraceful. I mean, they were disgraceful. I don't think a European Cup will have ever been won as easy. I mean, Spurs did not have much to do there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was, it's, yeah. It's, it was, they were shocking.
The chat is on fire already. Fair play to Arthur, they're saying. You've shown
they
up.
Turn up to work.
You've shown up. Fair play, Arthur. Where's Buick? They're asking. Where's... In fairness, Colm has some very sensible takes about all of this, which I'm not going to ruin by giving to you today, but he will be back next week to give you his cold filleting of what happened last night. For the Spurs fans, don't worry. John Duggan is outside. He's otherwise engaged for a few minutes. We're going to bring you some Ange goodness from the aftermath. We're going to, you know, relish... The triumph that it was for the clown prince of English football. Europa final glory is Ange's redemption. I'll do these headlines now for you. Glory at last. Spurs win first trophy for 17 years. Surely they can't sack Ange now. Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
Most certainly should.
Posta has delivered. Postecoglou, postman, he always delivers. Glory for Spurs as Ange gets the trophy in second season while it's amor misery for United. That is the back of the Mirror. Glory, glory, Postecoglou is the Telegraph. Spurs manager's last laugh after Johnson's smash and grab.
Great
he was
picture.
Very, very magnanimous. He was very magnanimous in the aftermath. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur.
Because he's not going to be, like, he has to be.
I don't know. I think that there's a world in which you give him a chance. Silver lining, Europa League glory sees Spurs end long wait for trophy and finish torrid season on a high. I do also see the world in which it makes sense for everybody to
break win-win.
Up now. He looked haunted for the last few months and notwithstanding his justification that he had decided after the transfer window to focus all his efforts on winning the competition. The eggs are in the Europa League basket, and in fairness, it came through. But Spurs' rearguard action delivers long-awaited European glory. I mean, they were very competent defensively last night. If they had shown a modicum of that across the season, it wouldn't be up for discussion about whether or not he was getting sacked. With the amount of goals they scored.
I really don't think you can... you have to measure that against what they were up against. Like Man United had no sort
I know, but
of,
they play a Premier League team every week in, week out, and they don't defend like that.
But Man United are 17th in the, or 16th in the Premier League.
Yeah. They didn't defend like that against Leicester and Southampton during the season.
No, because he had more sort of ambition about himself.
Deliveroo. Do you get it?
Yeah.
That's actually tab of the morning to you. Ozzy Ange, true to his word, with big trophy takeaway.
just in case you didn't know where he was from.
The first non-European, non-Argentinian manager to win a European trophy ever, according to a thing I saw on Twitter last night, so it may or may not be true. But if it is true, yeah, the journey that he's gone on from the son of Greek immigrants in Australia all the way here, it is quite a story. Do you have any you know, a little flicker of humanity in you, Arthur, that you can appreciate the glory that Ange has gone through?
No, because it's not. They lost 20 odd games in the league.
Who cares? But it's a story.
That's
he's a man. He's a human being with like.
Sure, what? He's a man. I don't care. It's not like. They probably had in this competition the second highest wage bill, probably of any team.
You know the way that you talk about the shirt being too big for so many people at Man United, right?
Yeah.
You know the focus that there is, the laser-like focus on Man United that there is. There's a similar focus, except from probably an even bigger press corps who are London-based, who all grew up Spurs fans, who have like such a self-regard, self-hate cycle of shit that means that the focus on them is so intense. And he's managed to just about bound clear.
You can't.
It's like the end of Shawshank Redemption. He's swum through 6 miles of shit to come out the other side, and you're like, nah, not having it.
Because
still hate him.
You're making that seem like, I mean, your man Dufresne was framed. He'd done nothing wrong. Ange Postecoglou has overseen the loss of 20 odd games.
Yeah, but he had
it's as if he has killed his wife. Just done his time.
Those 20 games were like him putting up the posters of Raquel Welch when all along he was building this tunnel in the Europa League. That's exactly what was going on.
I don't know. Look, it's funny how they're in obviously a far more not precarious, but they've of course had a far worse season domestically than Man United did last year. And Man United made the mistake of sticking with the guy after the emotional uptick at the end.
I do think Erik ten Hag might have ruined this for everybody.
I think that kind of Ferguson FA Cup in 90 kind of theory has gone out the window. Look, who knows? There's a case if they stick with him, sure, why not? And if they get loads of money now and if they're willing to spend, he can probably, you know, balance the things. He probably improves them next season, and they obviously finish higher than they did. They're not going to finish the same again this year, but at the same time, it's going to be incredibly difficult to balance Champions League football and trying to improve in the Premier League.
Very, very difficult. In a weird way, Ruben Amorim off Broadway next season with no European football and just picking his best team week in, week out will be actually easier for them. Spurs reign in Spain. Johnson's scrappy goal wins Spurs' first trophy in 17 years is the I. And then the last one is the Irish Times. Johnson has final say as Spurs end wait for silverware. I don't know if he scored. He's taking the credit and they're still giving him the credit. It didn't look like he scored.
Well, Luke Shaw doesn't want that credit.
As everybody says, they don't care right now. There are two other quick stories that we should tell you, we will talk about, but just not right now. Dave, you need to start looking in the mirror instead of looking out the window. This is Terence McNaughton, the Antrim hurling legend, who has essentially filleted Davy Fitzgerald's behaviour on and off the field. He's complaining about referees, the style of play. No stone is untouched when it comes to the absolute decimation of the Davy Fitzgerald reign in Antrim this morning.
from Terence McNaughton on the back of the Indo. And then New Sephora blasts IRFU move to Act 7s as nonsense. This is really interesting. David New Sephora has taken to Facebook to absolutely slam the IRFU and David Humphreys. While he's on the tour with the Lions, working with Andy Farrell, who obviously now works for David Humphreys. So it's an interesting little dynamic. We'll go into details of that a little bit later on. But in the meantime, we say glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur to John Duggan.
Good morning, Jaron, Arthur and everybody. And look, you want to be impartial. You want to be objective. But for 5 or 10 seconds, you just want to hold up this scarf and go, get in!
What's the tie, JD? For the radio listeners, what tie are you wearing?
The tie is a silk tie I bought at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium when I brought my nephew there a year ago. And I said, this looks pretty swish. So I said, I'm going to buy this tie at the Spurs shop, which Spurs has become this really, really funny club that has got an empty trophy cabinet and probably one of the best stadiums you'll ever have in the world. And a fantastic megastore where you have all these retro shirts, which we saw a lot of last night. And I was getting kind of comments where, I mean, I'm kind of middle-aged now, and a middle-aged friend said, you know, we should be there in Bilbao, or the pair of us, because we'd fit into this middle-aged retro shirts thing. Because the original shirts never were as loose-fitting as the retro shirts look now with the Halston on them.
They do look cool.
They do look cool. It all started here, 1988, 37 years, my first game at White Hart Lane. So
that's the programme from your first game,
yeah. Against Portsmouth, and they lost, as you would as a Spurs thing. So, look, in my lifetime, as 39 years as a fan, they've only won 4 trophies, an FA Cup in 91, League Cups in 99 and 08, and now the Europa League last night. The journey's important, the identity's important, but ultimately winning is what sport's about as well. And they won, and that is just great. I'm thrilled, and a lot of people are thrilled.
Who was on that 88 team? That's the 87 Cup final team beaten by Coventry, essentially, the remnants of that. Gary Mabbott,
yes,
Clive Allen.
Clive Allen had left earlier that season. This is Venables' first season.
Okay.
And Clive Allen had left and they finished in the bottom half of the table. They weren't very good. But yeah, Venables was, then he brought Gascoigne in. And was Gascoigne in there? No, Gascoigne came in the summer. Gascoigne came in the summer and Waddle, I think, came in the summer as well. And then Lineker came, yeah.
There's obviously a massive question about the future of the manager. But in the moment, right, before we get to that, let's hear from him, because this is his moment of triumph where all of us, except Arthur, can have at least some kind of sense of, fair play to you. Good man yourself. Have a listen.
Yeah, people can bang on about our 20 league defeats and where we are, but, you know, they're missing the point of what we're trying to build here or what I'm trying to do anyway. And I really feel that tonight can... Yeah, it'd be a great platform for us to kick on.
You talk about backing your vision. I mean, how does a club let go of a manager who's just delivered them their first trophy in 41 years in European competition?
Look, I think I said yesterday, I'm pretty kind of, not relaxed is not the word, because I'd be disappointed if we couldn't continue on this path. But, you know, like I said, it's not a criticism. I understand why it would be difficult for a club like this to buy into one person's vision. You know, I remember when I signed, you know, it was kind of, you know, the club, I think even Daniel sort of said, you know, we went after winners, it didn't work, and now we've got Ange, and, mate, I'm a winner. I've been a serial winner my whole career. It's what I've done more than anything else, you know, and I know people talk about my football, which I'm very proud of, but, and I know people dismiss my achievements because, you know, they didn't happen to happen on this side of the world, but for me, they're all hard-earned, and all I've done my whole career is win things, and but I understand, you know. Look, the way things have gone in the league, you know, people are rightly to be concerned about. Like I said I don't think there's a true reflection of where we're at, but whatever happens, my own sort of belief in what I do doesn't waver, and I'll continue to kind of push on to do what I do.
I know you said you're sort of relaxed about the situation, but can you just give us an idea of what the next few days are like? Is there a meeting planned with Daniel or with the hierarchy? Because you must want some clarity one way or the other.
No, no planned meetings. I haven't had any discussions. No one's spoken to me about anything. Maybe they felt like they don't need to, or they're waiting for this game. Look, what I do know is that I'm going to go back to my hotel room, get my family and friends together, open up a nice bottle of scotch, have a couple of quiet ones, get ready for a massive parade on Friday, play Brighton on Sunday, really important, our last home game, we want to finish strong, and then Monday I'm going on holidays with my beautiful family because I deserve it, and que sera, sera.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, good man, Ange. People can bang on about the 20 defeats like Arthur's been doing this morning. You know, it's like he was speaking right. He's looking right down the lens at you.
What happened to a saint?
What is going to happen, John? What do you want to happen? What is going to happen?
What do I want to happen? I'm mixed feelings. I don't mind if he stays.
Yesterday, I think you were like, out the door, off you go. Now things,
well,
it's fair enough to change your mind. New evidence came to light.
Well, a trophy does, it's an infusion of whatever. It's like it's a transfusion of hope, really. And I do think I do think you need to like to be cold about it. 8 years ago, Tottenham Hotspur were second in the league, and 6 years ago they were in the Champions League final. This is a competition that doesn't have the top 32 teams in Europe in inverted commas in it, and they've won it. And it's great that they won it. A bit like when David Moyes won West Ham. It's great that you've won a trophy. This you cannot like he'll be a success forever now at Tottenham, whether he stays another day or he goes on Monday. You'll be a success forever. To win a European trophy, to win a trophy. Sport's about winning things.
Is that how Ramos is remembered?
It's a League Cup. I think there's a difference between a League Cup and a European, the secondary European competition, which has been going for, I know the League Cup's been going for a long time, but the League Cup is a third
tier. Birmingham won the League Cup around the same time. I mean,
like the League Cup is a third tier competition within the country. This is a second tier European competition. Yeah. Within the continent.
I know what you mean, yeah.
But you have to also look, like, it's the worst performance from a league since 1977. So there's definitely, it's almost like when you look at the Old Bailey, that you're holding up the weights and they're almost 50-50. And that's the way I'm kind of, you know, you're approaching this morning. The thing about it is, if they get rid of him, right, and then you have a new manager in there and they're 10th in the league and they've spent a load of money next December, the fans will not be... They won't be lamenting Ange, but they'll be also turning very seriously on that board because they do not like the board. They do not like the chairperson. And Ange has, look, it's almost like saying, I'm going to put everything on red or black by saying I always win in my second season. Because if they lost last night, it would have looked a bit ridiculous because it was all down to one game. But the fact that they did win makes him look like a hero now.
I think if he'd lost last night, he wasn't getting the official team transfer back. They were coming down to the change rooms and going, thanks very much. It's been emotional, but we'll see you around.
Like in 2009, he was managing the Whittlesea Zebras in Australia. He's had an amazing run. And he is a successful coach with Australia, with Yokohama, with Celtic, and now with Tottenham. But in the round, as they say, can't be finishing 17th. Like this is a club that was six seasons out of Arsenal.
Maybe he has matured as a coach and has decided that there is another way to play football
Absolutely, based on what we've seen versus like last season in the league. And there'd be a handful of times when it all would click away to Manchester United or away to Manchester City or at home in certain games where they'd obliterate teams playing the best football you'd ever see. But that's not sustainable unless you've got two squads to do it and you don't get injuries. Mickey van de Ven was probably arguably the best player last night.
Mickey van de Ven. What a save.
Yeah.
That was sensational.
Yeah.
And Romero's shithousery of Maguire.
Richarlison played well. Like he worked hard.
I did not expect it. I definitely thought, why are you picking him? And I thought he was going to get sent off.
Yeah, he was a bit on the edge. It was great to see for Son, 10 years at the club. He's not the player he was, but he has been an amazing servant for the club. He's always played with a smile on his face.
Yeah, he's out of contract, isn't he?
I think they're giving him another year.
Oh, did they? Okay, because he did look washed up last night. It was like,
yeah, he is washed up. But
every time he got the ball, he gave it away. Harry Maguire, afterwards, not having good grace. Romero going around, shaking hands.
They've had history. They've had history from previous matches, Maguire.
But you need to get over it, though.
When you're lumping balls into the box for Harry Maguire at the end, that is just the nadir Manchester United are at now, after 20 years of the Glazers.
The odds on who is going to be the next full-time permanent Spurs manager. I'm going to start around 25-1, Brendan Rodgers. Edin Terzic, 16. Marco Silva, 12. Kieran McKenna, 10. Areola, 10. De Zerbi, 10. Francesco Farioli.
Probably a Paratici. He's back in the loop there, Paratici.
8. Scott Parker, Thomas Frank, 6s. Pochettino, 5. That's not going to happen.
No, USA.
Such a weird gig, the USA gig. Xavi Hernandez is 4 and Oliver Glasner is 4. They're the favourites.
Okay.
Any of those that you would...
I like Thomas Frank. I like Glasner. I think these are really good coaches. But it's back down to the fact that Daniel Levy and the board have had 16 managers there and they ultimately haven't backed them enough in the transfer market. And they'll say that they will, but the wages to turnover ratio, we all know that most clubs that are successful in Manchester City, Chelsea under Abramovich, it's usually in the ratio of wages and the wage bill to your turnover and them being very close. And Tottenham's wages are inferior to Arsenal's and to Chelsea's. And once again, they were playing last night in a secondary competition. You know, are we trying to tell me that Postecoglou is a better manager than Pochettino? No, he's not. But he just has won a trophy. And, you know, once again, it's on the other side of the ledger. They'll have that memory forever. And that, in a way, for Postecoglou, it would probably be better for his brand to quit.
Yeah, there is another world in which he actually like goes into the coaching thing and finds two or three people who are good at set piece coaching, you know, and gets a celebrity set piece coach who works with them and embraces that side of things and signs another couple of defenders so that when his defenders get injured, that the strength and depth isn't just like a bunch of kids or recast midfielders. And there is a sliding doors moment in his career where he becomes a better, more mature manager because of this.
I mean, there's also the Kieran McGinley argument, if you take it to a different code, that maybe football is just too ruthless, there's too much money in it, but to actually stick with somebody for a while and then to see it to come through. But then there's the Ten Hag. I suppose Ten Hag won, what, two trophies at Manchester United. They stuck with him and then it backfired on him. And it cost them a lot of money. And they're seeing that, like the 100 million quid. Now, I mean, this is the thing. Spurs have to, they've been given an injection of money they weren't expecting. And now they see if can they spend it wisely. But they've always been into the continental thing at Tottenham and the directors of football and the, they have to get this right. Jose couldn't get it right. Conte couldn't get it right. I don't know.
Who are the decision makers?
Daniel Levy has been the decision maker, but they've got a guy called Johan Lang who's been in the technical side of things. I mean, Paratici has been very much had Levy's ear. But maybe this guy coming in from Arsenal, if I can get his name right, Ventoshekham, I think his name is. He's the CEO that's going to come in. He was Arsenal CEO for over a decade. Was around there when Arteta came in. Arteta loved him and did it seemed to be a very good job at Arsenal. He's going to come in as CEO of the club in the summer. And I think that perhaps Daniel Levy will take a back step when it comes to the football side and look at the entertainment hub side, which he's been very good at running. Yeah. And the Beyonce concerts, the go-kart, the NFL games.
And I know that's all a joke, but that is supposed to be the money that allows them to sign some of the best players in the world. And they've definitely been good at signing young players.
Yeah.
Not so good at signing kind of ready-made. Like, Solanke's grand, right?
Yeah.
But the teams that they're buying players off from the Premier League seem to be able to use that money better to get even better players than the ones that they're selling to
them. Do you think that Brighton and Brentford have been better at their recruitment than Tottenham have been? When Pochettino was there, they had a guy called Paul Mitchell with them and their recruitment, like Dele Alli, they had Kane, they had young players. They were clever bringing the lads in from Ajax, Alderweireld and Vertonghen. You've got to remember, folks, amid all the euphoria, Tottenham have 38 points in the league right now. In 2017, they had 86. You know, so and they were in the Champions League final, which it is a regression. So if they hadn't won last night, I'd be throwing the TV out the window to say, like, we need the club to be sold, because there is the fantastic business side. There is the lack of the oil money and the lack of nation state stuff. The fact that they're owned by London people, people from the area, very well run, the best run club in the world. But I think the entertainment hub and all that stuff, the match day revenue, when you go to the Spurs and get your lovely fish and chips and you get your pint poured through the bottom of the glass because it's quicker.
The mile of cheese.
So you've all that. But then you have to have...
In fairness, they have the pints through the bottom of the glass at Anfield as well.
Do they? Okay. Yeah. You have to have the football side run well. Like ultimately, primarily, it's still a football club. That's why you saw the supporters. My godson was there at the stadium last night.
And, yeah, so I didn't know this. So there was stuff at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Yeah, there's 40,000 around that. I mean, people at the Spurs Stadium. They had a load of jumbotrons. The supporters are watching from the stands. But then after the game, they just invaded the pitch and some of them were jumping on the top of the jumbotrons. So it was absolute anarchy. I was getting calls from my godson just with in unintelligible noise from the other end of the FaceTime element of it. But you have to ultimately run a football club. It's still a football club. It's not an entertainment hub. If this new guy comes in and if they're able to run the football side well, then Tottenham are well set. Until they get the football side right to meld with the entertainment side, you don't get the revenue that you're going to get from winning Champions Leagues or winning Premier Leagues that will accelerate the club hopefully being a club of the 21st century in London, because it's in London and it's a fantastic stadium, great training ground. What's not to like?
It does feel like Tottenham are always just going to be just one or two little tweaks away from like being able to just shoot on. Like everything's set up there for them.
Yeah.
It's all set up.
In that, right, if you do look at that list of managers, is there anybody who you think you could trust to actually take them to that next level? Like, is Xavi a genius, or was Xavi good at Barcelona because it's Barcelona?
It's hard to judge with Xavi.
No, yeah.
Would you prefer Frank?
I think
Or Iriola? Like, there was definitely a piece during the week about Iriola having a brilliant chairman who fully gets him and fully understands him, and at the same time,
one of the positives about Ange Postecoglou is his communication skills have been 100%. Whether you like it or not, whether you think it's abrasive or whatever, I think he's been able to communicate. I think Frank is a very good communicator. And I love watching Mbeumo, I love watching Wissa, I love watching, like, Brentford, it's a very clear, defined thing with Brentford. Bournemouth at times, as well as they can play, have been a bit inconsistent for me this season. But look, it's very hard to say we're going to put De Zerbi, Frank, Scott Parker in there until see what backing they get from the board.
Feels a little like another Antonio Conte, except without the track record of winning Serie A.
Yeah.
And the Premier League.
And there's a feeling maybe at Brighton that he was a bit of friction himself on the board at times. So, Thomas Frank to me has been a very impressive manager. But I suppose the first thing is to work out whether it's Ange or not. And if it's not Ange, then they really just have to get it right, the next appointment. But it's very hard to say, look, X person goes in there when their recruitment isn't good enough and they're not aligned with the vision. I mean, how many? Arne Slot was recommended by Martin Jarl to the Spurs board. Don't think Ten Hag was nearly at Spurs. Brendan Rodgers was nearly there. There've been a lot of managers that have of really good quality that have been close to joining Spurs, and it hasn't happened. And you always get the sense that they never get the backing that they deserve to rival Arsenal, Chelsea, even in the London space. That's the concern I'd have. As amazing as it is to win the trophy and to win the silverware, it's still in a secondary competition, and it's still a club that is inferior in its performance to it was 6-7 years ago with the same people in charge of the board.
In a way, that's an argument for Ange staying, and that he knows what the parameters are, and it's an argument for the board keeping him. You get a new manager in, like Xavi, who's like, well, I want 150 million, and they're like, yeah, no problem. And then he gets in, like, actually, we've only got 80 because some things didn't happen, and we haven't booked enough concerts.
Yeah.
Which feels a little bit like what happened with Conte.
It's run as a business first, not a football club. I mean, don't be naive. No, it's still a football club. Like, we're not talking about entertainment hubs here.
James Maddison in full kit, is he going to get slaughtered the way John Terry did, or is it like, actually, you know what, we've all got over that
now?
That
James Maddison comes across as a nice guy.
John Terry walked so that James Maddison could limp onto the pitch with his ACL.
Kulusevski was there, and
Kulusevski was in a suit.
Oh, he was down to a jersey though, so.
At the end, was he?
With the crutches. It's a family thing. My brother-in-law got me into Spurs when I was... He's from Middlesex, just outside London, and he met my sister in Mallorca in the 1980s and came over to Ireland to meet the parents, and I got a snooker table. And he says, if you win a game of snooker, you get 5 points. If you lose, you support Spurs. So he's put me onto this highway to hell.
So, a very costly fiver.
It was a costly fiver.
Really ruined your life.
Yeah. But if somebody said to me, Dubs have won, Clare have won, and Spurs have won the last few years, not too bad. Not too bad.
Arthur, what for Amram now? What next?
Ooh, it's very hard to know. There's an ironic element to it where arguably not winning probably now gives the best circumstances next season, whether it will or not, won't work. Or he won't have to be balancing. They're only going to have, well, they'll have their 38 games and whatever else they do in the domestic cups. But I don't know. I really don't know. I don't have a clue. There's obviously going to be a bit of change now, and a few different players will leave. But it's sort of half concerning, the fact that he obviously doesn't really rate Garnacho.
We'll get to Garnacho in a few minutes' time, because he has given an explosive post-match interview to the Spanish media. Gavin Cooney's outside. We'll focus a bit on Man United when he comes in.
But there's that. He obviously doesn't really rate Mainoo, you know, who was kind of only 12 months ago. He's like, he's starting for England in a European final. Like, it's
something symbolic about Harry Maguire. Like, a centre forward in the last few minutes.
There is a
scrapping with Romero.
Yeah.
Trying to get something out of it. It's bottom of the wrong stuff.
I think there was a feeling, even there was no sense last night from watching that they were going to be able to break through. These looping kind of, and there was just no kind of plan.
Playing Bruno Fernandes as a defensive midfielder, I mean, I understand you're getting loads of touches from him, but they're largely on the halfway line, or just, you know, the heat map is not close enough to where it needs to be.
It doesn't. It really, I don't know what he had planned, but it didn't seem like it was a plan for the game they were playing.
Now, at the end of the game, you men in black, all the, like, there was a good header opportunity for Bruno that if he hits the target, I'm not sure.
They were terrible.
Well, there was the Van de Ven clearance. There was the Garnacho. There was the save. Shot. The Shaw had a shot.
The Shaw.
Like, it is a sliding doors thing.
Where did you watch it? As a matter of interest, channel?
At home. Sorry, TNT.
Home.
TNT or Premier?
I watched Fletcher and McCoist.
Yeah. So George Hamilton was on, apparently. Garnacho comes on straight from the hairdressers, was the line, according to Dermot Keenan in their comments. But did you not think Fletch was like, oh, well, that's the winning goal, essentially? Like, there's 45 minutes left here.
Well, he started moaning about why aren't you United getting subs on? Get the subs on!
It did feel very, I'm tempting fate here. Well, that's it. That's the match-winning save. Like, there's about 20 minutes left here.
Did you see there's a thing about Rio Ferdinand when Spurs scored? There's a viral of that.
The behind-the-scenes
of Rio and Glenn Hoddle and Bale. When Spurs score, and Rio is just the horror when they score, and then Bale is just clapping in a very gentlemanly way, and then Glenn Hoddle appears out of nowhere.
I'd love to know if they're having to pay Gareth Bale to turn over these things, because God knows, I don't think he's doing it out of the love of the thing.
Well, he doesn't need the money, so no. That's the other side of it. It's like,
it's a curiosity. Son's my mate, he'll turn up.
Yeah.
I played golf today.
He seemed quite detached from the whole thing, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He seems detached from everything. Like, I don't know.
It doesn't look like a footballer.
Obviously.
That was one of the best footballers there's ever been.
Yeah.
It's almost like he just lad. Oh, yeah, I was down the bank today, working in the bank, selling a few shares.
Not detached from Wales. Curiously.
I don't begrudge him. He seems very at ease with himself.
You would be.
Yeah, it's great.
Off the wall breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. Oh man, you know they could do a bit of that. What way? I suspect not even the world's best physios could fix Man United.
On your most recent edition of Off the Ball, there was this.
So if you come from outside Britain or Ireland, even though you might have played 50 times and lived here for 10 years and both your children are born in Ireland, you can't play for the Lions? Well, it's going to be pure in the driven snow, whiter than white, sod that. That's bull. I really think it's bull.
And this.
No, you can go wherever you want. You go in the stadium, you know, it's the pure, if you have a touchline band, you have a touchline band. So Daly Mount is it's a great atmosphere, you know, so I could see why, from his perspective, he mightn't have wanted to be in the stand, but it was, he it was up to him where he went. There is a good view up there. I've been up there. Nice view of the pitch.